relationships are everything. And so not only like customer support, but relationships you have with your IT department, your engineering teams, legal, privacy, comms, HR teams, I think those really do matter. And, you know, you won't be successful, or your team will not be successful, if you aren't able to make inroads with these partners, right? And I think customer support is really important too, because they are a lot of times the front line, and they are very plugged into the pulse of what our customers are saying and how they're feeling about things.
This is the Detection at Scale podcast, a new show designed to help security practitioners succeed at managing and responding to threats at a modern cloud scale. As the volume of data increases and the attack surface expands, it's never been more important to stay ahead of the curve. Each episode will feature interviews with leading security practitioners, thought leaders, and company founders who are building the next generation of security tools. I'm your host, Jack Naglieri, founder and CEO of Panther Labs. Now let's get into today's show.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Detection at Scale. My name is Jack Naglieri, and today I'm here with Manny Mulatu. Manny, how's it going?
Good, Jack. How are you? Pleasure to be with you, man.
Thanks for coming on today. I'm really excited to talk to you. You've had a really interesting career, and I would really love to get your perspective on a few things around stuff like detection and response leadership, and really just dive into your experience. But maybe before that, you can just give a quick background on yourself and what you're working on right now, what you're excited about, things like that.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, so I'm Manny Mulatu. I lead security and privacy incident response at Block, probably known as Square to most, for almost about 3 years now. Spent well over a decade at Microsoft in different capacities, from engineering leadership to product leadership and support engineering. Before that, worked in the Silicon Valley with several tech startups, and at Google for a little bit through an acquisition. And so really excited about this space. Got a really fantastic team, great leadership support. And so just super excited to kind of share with your audience around this topic.
Awesome. So you had a really interesting career at Microsoft. Like, you grew through their ranks quite a bit. Is that true?
Yeah. Microsoft was fantastic. Yeah, it started way back when, before they used to have a thing called Ad Center that eventually turned into Bing Ads, and really grew from a support engineering role through TPM leadership, engineering management. And that's where got introduced to some more defensive side of security. Prior to Microsoft, I was at a company called Postini. It's an email security company. So, and through that, I think my first introduction into the security space was, I used to work for a company called Digital Impact, and they were quote unquote digital marketers, but essentially they were spammers. And so, so got introduced to security from both angles. And so, yeah, so it's been fun. Yeah, and Microsoft's been a phenomenal place to work for some time. But fintech was a new space for me, and it was an opportunity to add more tools to my tool belt and diversify my background a bit. And so it's been great at Block for the past 3 years.
It's a really amazing journey. It's really interesting to see the progression from TPM close to security to becoming that security leader. So I guess the first question in my head for you now is, what's been the most rewarding part about being in that seat, the detection and response like leadership seat? And what's been challenging about it as well?
Yeah, I think the most rewarding part of DNR leadership has been really the trust and relationships you build in the trenches. You know, it spans across your team, it spans to internal partners, engineering, legal, HR, the C-suite, and in some cases, even your customers. And so I would say, yeah, so the trust and relationships you build are probably the most rewarding aspect of it. And from a challenge perspective, I think the most challenging aspect is probably, I think, the dependency on teams, like, you know, to address vulnerabilities, you know, whether it's updating architecture or processes to improve the company's security posture, can sometimes feel like, the other thing is, it can sometimes feel like you're in a constant cycle to justify spend on like tools and services. And then the discussions around build versus buy. And so those are two challenging aspects. I think the third is, I think we all face this, and it's not necessarily tied to just DNR, but the regulatory compliance requirements are always evolving. And so ensuring at minimum you're meeting kind of baseline expectations are always a challenging aspect as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting. There's such a huge amount of dynamics that are at play when you're working in such a complex environment. And then I can imagine Block as big as it is today, there's quite a bit there, especially also playing in the financial area. So I guess I'm curious, from your perspective, what does success look like for you as a leader? Like, what are the things that you're measured against, and how do you really sell the value of what your team is working on upwards?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think if I had to look at it from the other lens, I think in a nutshell, I think like the C-suites, I think they care about how well you detect attacks, you know, how well you reduce the impact of a security incident, you know, how well you collaborate with key partners like legal, really how you protect the company's assets, employees, and customers. I also think they care about like the proactive services you're doing, right? Like whether it's threat hunts and tabletops, and really the focus on the continuous learning and understanding the ecosystem. Those are all kind of key factors that I think really, you know, solid CISOs or whether anyone in the C-suite are really focused on. And I think those are key things to ensuring that the team is effective.
Yeah. No breach is a good breach. Yeah. Certainly we want to do everything that we can there from that perspective, but also, yeah, just the sheer amount of work that goes into preventative and controls and really just everything else. I mean, even you mentioned before, just justifying the tools and services and building versus buying, there's quite a lot of things at play there. Does security, I mean, you mentioned really jumping in and working with other functions and orgs is a good part of the job, the rewarding side of it. How often are you interfacing with like customer facing teams, and how does security play a part in enabling those teams from a detection perspective?
Yeah, just in terms of kind of the relationships, you know, I think the relationships, they're key. Relationships are everything. And so not only like customer support, but like, you know, relationships you have with your IT department, your engineering teams, legal, privacy, comms, HR teams, I think those really do matter. And, you know, you won't be successful, or your team will not be successful, if you aren't able to make inroads with these partners, right? And I think customer support is really important too, because they are a lot of times the front line, and they are very plugged into the pulse of what our customers are saying and how they're feeling about things. And so trying to always check in with these folks around how things are going is super important to understanding the dynamics of the business.
Yeah. So when you joined the team, was it a net new team, or were you inheriting other sub teams, and what was the dynamic when you joined Block?
Yeah, when I joined Block, I inherited a team, but I also hired several people on the team. And it's been an awesome experience, because again, it's a large company, but in comparison to like a Microsoft or like a Google, it's a smaller company for sure, right? And so understanding some of the growing pains and stuff like that were always, you know, tricky things you need to navigate. But I was fortunate to have a really solid team, a really dynamic team, and really was empowered to hire areas where we had gaps. And so right now, that's one of the best things that I enjoy, is that I've got a team that I really enjoy working with. And it's one of those things where they keep me on my toes, I keep them on their toes, and it's a great relationship, and it makes work really enjoyable.
You know, we always talk about with detection and response, the whole concept of burnout is just very ubiquitous in the industry. So what's been your trick or your technique for keeping the folks in your team, like creating a sustainable practice for detection response so they don't burn out?
Yeah, that's another really good question, Jack. I think, as you know, burnout is certainly real in this industry. And as a leader, you need to hit it on the head. You know, like at a high level, I would say you need to understand the root cause of it and try to address it, right? You know, and there are several root causes in that DNR space, right? Could be tied to maybe long tail incidents you're working. It could be alert fatigue. It could be dealing with changing priorities. It could be not working on meaningful initiatives. I think there are things a leader can do, but it's also important for the individual to really set boundaries and be deliberate about like preventing it. As a specific example, I mean, for my team, my colleague and I, we actually ran a growth challenge some time back, and this was a team challenge. And really the intent was to make each of us more well-rounded, like by learning new things while keeping fitness relatively high, by like tracking each person's steps. Like we encouraged everyone to participate to meet our team goals. And really it focused on two pillars, right? Again, the reading challenge was it, where we encouraged folks to read an interesting book of any topic and share more about it with the team. And the other pillar was really about the step challenge, right? Was walking every day, tracking your steps to get healthy and spark some friendly competition. And I think those are the things you can do at work to help get folks not overly indexing on work and feel good about coming into work every day, especially in this remote world that we live in now. I think it's important. So ultimately, I really try to lead by example, as you and I talked about too, like, you know, taking time off to reset, be with family, truly unplug. Like I find picking up hobbies, like whether it's landscaping or like coaching my kids in basketball, really fulfills me. And I feel like teams feel more empowered when the actual leader also prioritizes work-life balance and self-care.
I had no idea that you were going to say self-care. That was really inspiring to hear, because I am the same exact way, where self-care is actually a really important piece of performance for a lot of ways, right? You have to be physically healthy to be mentally healthy. And then if you're mentally healthy, you show up better at work. And also there's a lot of other benefits to your mood and your mental health. And, you know, everything's very connected in your life, right? Like the things on all sides of a person really affect them. So that was a really, really great answer. Do you maintain a lot of those habits as well? So you mentioned like a reading goal, you mentioned a fitness goal. Are those things that you still do, or was that a big part of your own mentality as a person?
You know, in security, there's good days and bad days, right? So I always try to take a step back and take more of a balcony view around, like, where are the pieces in my life where I'm not balancing well, right? And so, you know, so it was a reminder for me to also, you know, get out of the meetings, take walking meetings, take one-on-one meetings, walking outdoors. And so it, you know, was a good way to not only just energize myself, but also get my teams to think about how they take care of themselves. And so I fall short all the time of working too long and focus. And so it's just really about resetting and getting back to making sure that I'm balancing that across life, right? With everything. And so, so I fall short all the time of these challenges. And so I just try to make sure that I get back up and try to create that consistency and that system around balance.
I really respect that. I think it's important. From a transparency perspective, you know, the one thing I'll share that has worked really well for me is written culture. And we were a company that started during the pandemic, basically. Like going into 2020, I think we were less than 10 people. Coming out of the pandemic, we were over 100. So there was quite a lot of growth that happened in that time. But I always found that written culture from the start really helped improve the transparency, collaboration. It just creates a lot of the right habits. So have you experimented at all with written? And I assume you're a remote team, is that right?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we're fully distributed. Yeah, writing is critical, right? In our, like, in terms of, you know, we write what they call spades, and you can probably find it on YouTube, but it's a culture of really, you know, large scale problems, just writing out the problem, different options, and it really facilitates more of a deeper understanding of the problem space and possible solutions. And as part of our planning process, right, like, we always, whether it's OKRs or just, you know, brainstorming on investment areas, we always get it on paper, right? And I think that's effective and allows people to, you know, collaborate with it asynchronously or synchronously and just get ideas written down. And it's important to really have that paper trail of ideas so that, you know, you find it useful, you learn. And a lot of times, even when there's a difference of opinion on strategy or architecture, writing these things down really, really helps you think through the pros and cons, and usually helps unblock like friction or discussions around direction. So yeah, I really fantastic thing to continue to promote that.
So let's talk a little bit more about like security oriented technology. And I actually didn't expect you to say a more like health and fitness type of answer for the burnout question, but I actually really appreciate that you did. But I guess from my perspective, like what's been your strategy for keeping the team highly productive aside from, you know, the really important element of human connection and stressing the holistic health of individuals? When you approach security, you can do so many things and there's so much signal. So how do you keep the team focused and productive?
Yeah. You know, for us, the big thing is we do a ton of automation, whether it's through, you know, on just triage or even incident response, right? Provisioning case documentation or Google Drive or whatever it is in terms of incident response. So a ton of automation. It's still fairly early for us on the AI front, but we've been in contact with several vendors that do like large language models and stuff like that. And so I think we're early on in our journey of really helping to capitalize on that and helping to reduce burnout. But automation is a big thing for us. And so if anything that's repetitive is out there and it's frustrating people, then they typically get inspired and want to figure out how to get rid of it or automate it. So
what are some areas where you think it's good to apply LLMs with DNR?
Yeah, whether it's detections, and of course you have to leverage a service that is big on security and privacy, and you know they don't view your data, but you know it's isolated to your ecosystem. But I think whether you're writing detections or reviewing logs or looking at hashes, there are things that you can kind of automate through not automate, but necessarily just get more insights from powerful tools like this. And so, you know, and I think a lot of even the writing piece of it, right? Like when you do forensics analysis, when you write case documents, a lot of times you are working with legal partners and folks outside of kind of your direct organization. And so it's extremely helpful from just a case documentation perspective. And through like complex investigations that you're running, you can use something like that to really, to accelerate, you know, finding connected dots, finding ways to reverse engineer things that you see in your logs or events that you're seeing through your IDS systems or prevention systems.
Yeah, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense around the investigation piece, being able to probably just convert a machine ID or something. It just saves you the lookup of a documentation. So I think there's certain elements there that are really strong. And summarization, as you mentioned, for looking at cases makes a lot of sense. Like, hey, given these, you know, 50 or 100 or 1,000 logs, just summarize this timeline of events. And I think that's going to be a really interesting innovation just in general for SecOps. And obviously the NLP side as well. So thinking about, can we engage better with our internal customers and can we have a more sophisticated way than just sending a chatbot with a few buttons? Can we actually like talk to people and train the model on like common things that, you know, we could effectively ask them ourselves? So it's really a really exciting time.
Yeah. I don't even think we've even scratched the surface there. I think there's so much power to it that it's exciting, you know, like in terms of where it'll take SecOps for sure.
Yeah. So what are you excited about right now? Like what are you tracking? You mentioned you're looking at like some sort of AI innovation to help the team, but what's been really top of mind lately for you in terms of just up-leveling your team and sort of taking you to the next level and keeping the team productive?
Yeah, no, that's great. I think lately it's been incident management platforms primarily geared towards like security or privacy response teams. Some of the like key things I'm looking at like include making sure the platform has strong RBAC, there's good case data segmentation, there's great integration maturity, whether it's with Slack or, you know, Google Docs or Word or whatever it is, and maybe like a rich set of metrics like out of the box. And so I think those are key things to help us be more efficient. And so we want to make sure that when we are working, you know, security incidents, that, you know, these things are segmented well, and people who get involved in the case or the incident are able to actively be engaged, understand, feel confident in the platform that we're on, And so those are the things I've been looking at in terms of vendors and kind of areas we can do to improve our incident management practices.
Yeah, I've been surprised actually with the lack of like really good independent incident management. I think there's a lot of solutions we kind of piecemeal together in SecOps, but I haven't really seen anyone like really hit it out of the park yet.
Yeah, it's been challenging, man. It's you know, a lot of them are geared towards engineering incident management and less around security and privacy focus. But I think folks like these, some of these companies in the industry are hearing it loud and clear. And I think they're starting to pivot a little bit around really catering to security teams a little bit more.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, Manny, it's been really great chatting and picking your brain. The last question I just wanted to leave with is, what are three pieces of advice that you can give to other folks leading detection and response teams?
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure, Jack, and really excited to spend the time here with you. Three pieces of advice for other kind of security leaders. I would say build an organization with psychological safety in mind. I would say encourage a growth mindset, continuous learning on the team. And the third piece I would say is encourage a healthy work-life balance, right? And encourage people to get outside of work and to take care of themselves, take care of their families, and to always, you know, focus on doing the right thing for themselves. Otherwise, they can't do the right things for their team. And that's taking care of yourself.
100%. Very wise words. I appreciate that. And thanks again for the time. It's great having you on. And
thanks.
To you soon.
Yeah, appreciate it, Jack. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Detection at Scale podcast brought to you by Panther Labs. For access to the latest episodes, please visit our website at www.runpanther.io/podcast. And for those interested in running Panther, head to our website, runpanther.io, to sign up for a free trial. You'll get a dedicated instance with the ability to analyze your security logs in real time at any scale powered by detections as code and sending into a very robust security data lake. Our goal is to make detection and response easy, scalable, and fast for you, the practitioner. Thanks. See you again next time.